Hey, we got a great Friday show for you. The Unknown Man is where we start, taking you into that position that people in Seattle feel like they're in today. Also, the Wendy's Breakfast Taste Test happens. Good show options on Netflix in case you're quarantined or getting ready to be quarantined. We look at the press and how they're treating Donald Trump and what he says, and how they're treating others. For instance, the London mayor who says, no, not a problem at all. There's nothing to worry about. You can get on that crowded tube. You can get on the subways. There's no chance of getting coronavirus. Really? Really? Which one is it? And the loss of Elizabeth Warren. Yes, we had to take down the tree today. All this and more on today's podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hello, America. It's Friday. We're glad you're here. Our coronavirus update begins in 1 minute.
Is the Glenn Beck program.
Somewhere in America, within the sound of my voice, there's a man standing at the open grave of a bygone era, casting his gaze, not at the death of an ideal, but at the death of a place in time. The old days, some people call them fondly. He thinks of them often. They're gone now, but the ideal remains. It burns within him and spills light into all that he touches. It's that spirit of something that was lasting, that was true. You know, we all like our toilets. We like having modern conveniences and air conditioning, but there's something that has been lost in America, and it's that spirit of the cowboy, a filter of integrity, which has always been there in America and will come back in fashion again. It's part of him. It's in the light in his eyes all the way down to the pair of Tecovas boots that he wears on his feet. He knows, as I know, Tecovas. When you buy a pair of Tecovas boots, you're buying a statement of integrity. Not that you're about statements, but there is something that reminds you when you slip them on in the morning, when you're standing around a bunch of numbskulls that are talking nonsense. There's something when you look down at your feet and you see that those people who made that cowboy boot with 200 steps, handmade, and yet you paid less than half of what the other numbskulls might have paid because they've got this name boot that, oh my gosh, and I got it at the greatest store ever. That's not common sense. That's not integrity. The integrity is the handmade portions and the best, finest leathers. That's where the integrity of these boots come in, not in the price, because the price is half of what all the other dopes paid for on a boot that is handmade like this one. Why? Because they cut out the middleman. They go right from the people who make it right to the person who has that frontier still in their soul. Tecovas boots. Find your pair now. Western goods for your frontiers are found at tecovas.com/Beck. That's tecovas.com/Beck. tecovas.com/Beck. All right, let's take a look at the daily stats. All of these stats are as of 5:30 a.m. from Johns Hopkins. Total confirmed dates. We're now over 100,000. The confirmed cases, that's up about 5,000 from yesterday. Total confirmed deaths are up about 100 from yesterday to 3,408. Just so you know, before we did anything with the swine flu, there were 1,000 deaths in America. 1,000 deaths in America. There are now 55,812 patients who have recovered from COVID-19. That's about half. Doctors point out the recoveries are outpacing hospitalization or deaths. 94 countries have confirmed cases. That is up from 87, and 11 more today have suspected cases. 16% of active cases are considered serious. Have you noticed this number is coming down? It was just at the beginning of last week, I think 19%. It's now down 3 points. 16% are considered serious, requiring hospitalization. That is including 5% that require ICU. The U.S. now has 233 confirmed cases, 14 deaths. The confirmed cases now in Washington, Oregon, find your state, California, Arizona, Texas, Wisconsin, Illinois, New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, North Carolina, Georgia, Colorado, Tennessee, Nevada, with additional suspected cases in Montana, Nebraska, Minnesota, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. Now, some other news that you need to know about this. We have the EPA releasing a list of disinfectants to use against the coronavirus. So if you're looking to disinfect, you should look to the EPA list of disinfectants that you can use. Clorox multi-surface cleaner and bleach, Clorox disinfecting wipes, Clorox commercial solutions, Lysol brand heavy-duty cleaner disinfectant. There's all kinds of Purell, Sanoprime germicidal spray. The CDC and FDA has made this now available in case you are looking for those things, but it's all just common sense, unlike what Tito's has had to come out and say. Tito's Vodka, based in Texas, has responded on Twitter that no, their vodka is not a sufficient disinfectant against COVID-19. A Twitter user wrote in and said, "I made hand sanitizer out of your vodka. Hand sanitizer doesn't taste bad either. Cheers to Tito's." They responded immediately, "Per the CDC, hand sanitizer contains at least 60% alcohol. Although ours is delicious, it's only 40% alcohol. Therefore, it doesn't meet the standards of the CDC." Despite the company's tweet, more than a dozen Tito's vodka sanitizer recipes are currently circulating online. I wonder if this isn't just a brilliant marketing campaign. Also, there is another rush. We've heard about toilet paper flying off the shelves and other things that now have, kind of a black market feel to them. Alongside those coronavirus prep bags being filled by shoppers, bleach, hand sanitizer are now, add to it, Twinkies and Ding Dongs. Hostess brand, the CEO, said that they're seeing a bump in business as people are stocking up in case they are trapped at home during the coronavirus outbreak. We are benefiting likely for short-term due traffic, and that's the great thing about Hostess. They're comfort things, so seeing a slight uptick in traffic, too early to tell, but a lot of our sales data is lagging, but we think that this is just people storing up for a comfort food. The average Twinkie and Ding Dong package sold today will last you not as long as food storage, but it will go to 2024. By the way, I opened up the vault yesterday because we saved Twinkies. You know, when they stopped making Twinkies, when was that? Stu, do you know?
A couple of years ago, right? But they're back now. But,
yeah. They didn't last very well. I put them in a vault just so we had them as a joke. And yesterday I was kind of cleaning out some of the stuff in the vault, and I found the Twinkies in the back of the vault. I wouldn't eat them.
So wait, because everyone used to say, "I'm not going to eat those things. They'll last for 40 years.
No.
And now they don't last for 40 years, and that's another reason why you won't eat them? Maybe you just don't like Twinkies.
That's true. I don't like Twinkies. Mm-hmm. But the Ding Dongs, I love Hostess Ding Dongs. Yeah, they didn't weather the years very well either. Hundreds of concerts and events have gone offline now. Trade shows, concerts, events been canceled due to the coronavirus fears. In the U.S., more than 41,000 people have signed an online petition calling for the cancellation of South by Southwest. That is a 10-day tech and music concert that normally draws about 400,000 visitors to Austin, Texas. People are saying, "Please don't come. Please don't come." The Global Health Conference, where Donald Trump was scheduled to speak, it is the first cancellation in the event's 58-year history. The Global Health Conference, that has been canceled. American Bar Association canceled its national conference on white-collar crime. Natural Products Expo is canceled in Anaheim. 32nd Annual Arnold Schwarzenegger Annual Sports Festival in Columbus, Ohio.
No.
Could I just go back and read that again?
Mm-hmm, sure.
The 32nd Annual Arnold Schwarzenegger Sports Festival in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that he had a sports festival?
I did not.
In Columbus? and it ran for 32 years? No idea. In our don't be a tool category, New Zealand residents who had a fever and had symptoms attended a live Tool concert on February 28th. The packed rock concert was packed with thousands of other people, and health authorities are now using security cameras to identify who he may have come in contact with. He was in the general admissions standing area from the left-hand quadrant, they say. He stood in line for refreshments. He used the restroom. Don't worry if you're in New Zealand. If you were there and had any refreshments, were in the stadium, or used the bathroom, you might be infected. A man in his 40s in Slovakia confirmed now with COVID-19. No international travel. Son doesn't live with him, who had traveled to Venice in Italy in January. Two additional suspected cases now in Slovakia have no known exposure in the international travel. They don't know how it got there. China's economy is losing $20 billion every day. Migrant workers and contractors are the worst impacted, could lose a combined $115 billion by April 2020. Total economic loss in China mount. They could exceed $1 trillion in lost income among Chinese households. Let me say that again. Not in the businesses, but in the households. It could exceed $1 trillion in lost income. This is the real threat of the coronavirus. Bank of China has made $200 billion available for Chinese small businesses. Bank of China also purchased $100 billion in Chinese stocks and bonds. The Chinese stock market has gained 9% so far in March. Much of that is printed money by the Chinese. But I will tell you, when this, we finally hit the bottom on this, nobody can predict the top, nobody can hit the see the bottom. But I will tell you that once we find a vaccine, which will happen, once we find the vaccine, and once we know that a socialist Marxist is not going to win in the election, you should have your money in the stock market, because the stock market will boom once we get past all of this. It's down again, another 535 points at this point. It is down to 25. That Dow is 25,595 currently. That's down from about almost 30,000 just a few weeks ago. So we're down 5,000 points. But I would imagine that our stock market is going to rebound. The great news is on this politically is we were due for a correction. And if it wasn't for the coronavirus, when that correction happened, the press would immediately say, Donald Trump's economy is falling apart. Not one of them would have said, hey, by the way, it looks like Barack Obama's economy is really kind of falling apart. Because remember, this is Barack Obama's economic policies that brought us here in the good times. Nobody would have blamed the bad times on Barack Obama. But if Barack Obama were in office, if the exact same thing happened, he would still be blaming it on George W. Bush. This is the best of the Glenn Beck program. This is the Glenn Beck program. Welcome to it. Pat Gray is joining us now.
Hello, Pat. Hi, Glenn.
Hi. Welcome to Friday. Glad you're here.
Yeah, me too.
Bill O'Reilly is coming up.
I don't think he is, actually.
Oh, he's not?
No.
I didn't plan anything for the second hour. I was just going to let him blab. I was going to go for breakfast.
Oh, we have breakfast now, though.
We do?
Yes.
Actually,
the only reason I came in today was
Wait,
because
what?
Of this. Well, I'm pretty sure I have COVID-19. I was thinking, should I stay home? And then I thought, no, today's the day we're testing all the Wendy's breakfast food.
Ah, okay.
So that's the only reason
By the way,
I'm also confirmed.
You are confirmed?
I'm confirmed COVID-19.
Mentally? Stop it.
Yes.
Stop it. Both of you. Okay. Both of you, stop it.
Why?
First of all, tell the truth. Pat has COVID-10. I have COVID-9. Together, we have COVID-19.
Aww, okay, that's adorable.
You haven't been tested yet. So don't claim your badge of the crown until you actually are awarded that, okay?
Yes,
Some
sir.
Of us have worked hard for our COVID status.
That's true.
So Wendy's is making breakfast now?
This is a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Yes, Wendy's is making breakfast for, I think it's the third time they've tried it. But
is it really?
Yeah, they tried it. They had a couple test runs that did not go well, apparently, a few years ago.
Huh.
But they're trying it now. And if you notice, you can, like, every other commercial on TV is for either Burger King or McDonald's breakfast,
mm-hmm.
which, because they're all just trying to, like...
Isn't McDonald's giving breakfast... Holy cow, this is the carb-free option, and that does not look good. Wow.
Breakfast is harder
doesn't look good.
Than you think. I mean, this makes me always think McDonald's does such a good job with breakfast, because mm-hmm. I remember when Taco Bell launched breakfast, I was so excited about it. Really not good.
Oh, really?
I mean, no. It's
are they still doing it?
I think they are.
I can't imagine anything at Taco Bell not being good.
I mean, everything.
I love Taco Bell.
I love it. I love the people. I love hanging out there.
I am not eating this. I am not eating
this. Yes, you are. It was a taste test. Okay, so what do we have here?
Oh,
you got sausage, you got some egg, and you got bacon.
Yeah, no
What
thanks.
Are you complaining about?
I don't like it.
Looks delicious.
Not, no, it does not. It's it looks not delicious. Exactly the right color. I'm not eating it.
You're not even going to try it?
I'm not going to try that.
Seriously?
Nope. Nope.
Wow.
I would not. Based on their carb-free option here of just a square egg, a square piece of sausage, and some bacon.
What is the deal with the square things at Wendy's?
It's strange.
All right.
But this is a chicken and bacon croissant.
Chicken and bacon is just lunch or dinner.
They're French fries. They're hash browns. They're French fries.
Yes. They're just French fries.
Mm. They're just French fries. I guess they're home fries.
They're pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
The fries are like the seasoned fries that are a little bit thicker than the normal fry. Pretty good. I would say the fries are pretty good, actually. They should have these on the normal menu.
The chicken bacon croissant-ish type of sandwich is not bad. It's pretty good.
Chicken. I have the chicken. Have you had the chicken biscuit thing?
I haven't tried it yet.
Right. That is really good. Really good.
Oh, good.
The biscuit is, there's a honey butter chicken biscuit, I believe is what you're talking about.
That's what I just had?
Yeah.
That's delicious.
Wait, hold on. I want to make sure I understand. You're on a low-carb diet.
Yeah.
No. And you got a low-carb option, and you're currently eating a honey butter chicken biscuit?
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is science, man. This is science.
Okay.
This just looks so disgusting, I won't try. But I don't think you're going to Wendy's for that.
It's on the sandwich.
I know, but it's hidden by the bread. But the biscuit is actually a little like, there's nobody that makes a biscuit like Popeyes. Popeyes makes a much better biscuit, but this is not bad.
Yeah, they went with this.
And the chicken is good.
If you want to know the unique things here, I would say, first of all, the honey butter chicken biscuit is something that is just blatantly not a breakfast sandwich. They just made a lunch sandwich into breakfast. Right? That is just not a sandwich that's for breakfast. They've just decided to give you a chicken sandwich for breakfast, which is fine. You can have a chicken sandwich for breakfast, but don't call
that's
it breakfast.
That's almost like chicken and waffles. That's really good. Okay. Does this look appetizing to anybody?
Yeah, this is the unique. I would say this is one of their unique plays, which is... It looks kind of like a hamburger roll if you looked at it from
a croissant.
It's sort of croissant-ish. Kind of. Yeah, I would say it's almost.
And they're calling it a croissant, but it's not.
I would call it a croissant. It's in between a croissant and a bun.
Let me just say this right here is the look of a failed breakfast attempt that will close the doors of Wendy's in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Now why is that?
A failed look at that.
I don't know. I think the croissant thing's not bad. I took a bite.
No,
look at the cheese.
McDonald's at least, you know, I don't know how they do it, but they mold their logo into everything. You know, at least the meat is shaped like it has bones in it, and it's got a nice logo on the McGriddle. McGriddle. This just looks like crap. This looks like hey kids. I made you some breakfast downstairs. That's not good.
You don't even want to try it?
No. No.
Did you try the croissant thing, Pat?
I did.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. It's okay.
It has some sort of sauce on it, I would say?
Yes, it's like a sweet sauce that I guess screams breakfast. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think they understand what breakfast foods are.
I don't think this is going to work.
The biscuit with chicken is really good.
All right, let me try the biscuit. I haven't tried the biscuit yet.
Biscuit with chicken is really good.
I mean, it's
that's as good as if you like McGriddles, which I do. That's as good as a McGriddle.
Yeah, and it might be syrup that they put on it.
I think that's why you like it.
Did they put syrup on it?
I think so.
I think so. You really love the McGriddle, and that's what they do with the McGriddle. They bake the syrup right into it.
I don't know how they do that. I don't want to know, McDonald's. Don't ever tell us, because it'll make me stop wanting
it. Probably.
It's like witchcraft.
Yeah.
You know, if Dow Chemical was full of witches, that's what they'd be making.
I think Dow Chemical is full of witches. I'm pretty sure that's true.
That's how they're so effective.
Yeah.
I will say this about the biscuit. Usually like a buttery biscuit. Uh-huh. That is like every bite has two sticks of butter in it. That's how buttery that biscuit is.
Mm.
It's pretty good. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty good biscuit.
It's good.
I would say that, like, I don't think any of these are bad. The croissant thing is more on the level of the Burger King croissant sandwich, I believe they call it, which is just okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is, if you're going to launch breakfast, this was like, this is, I'm the CEO of Wendy's,
mm-hmm.
and you come in with this, I'm like,
try again.
Yeah, you know, I'm not.
That's what I'm like.
Yeah, I'm not opening up. Mm-hmm. I'm not opening up and putting a whole bunch of money for breakfast for this. No.
Where's the pancakes? Where's the waffle?
Where's anything besides? I would say to them, okay, you have the biscuit, chicken biscuit thing. You got it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not enough to open us up for breakfast. No.
Yeah.
That's just, you know, McDonald's did so well with the breakfast all day thing. Now everyone's trying to get on the bandwagon. I was on a plane and I watched Super Size Me 2.
Oh.
Remember Super Size Me, the documentary with Morgan Spurlock?
I didn't watch it, though, so I wouldn't understand, too, I don't think. Super Size Me 2 would be
really confusing.
No, I think
you might be able to pick it up. I
think it's
on a limb.
It's like COVID-19.
Uh-huh. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen the first 18.
Right, but I think you'll get it.
So
it was Spurlock the guy we had on that first episode at Fox?
No,
or at
that
CNN?
Was the Fast Food Nation guy. The guy who wrote the Fast Food Nation.
But he hated us.
He did, and it was such a good interview. And it was the first show Glenn did on CNN Headline News, and it was the guy who wrote Fast Food Nation, which was basically a book
and
bashing fast food.
Really get Glenn, I think, was the biggest problem.
Yeah, and he did. Right? It was a really actually an interesting interview, and you guys had. Yeah. And our thing was like, we should do something funny while the interview. So it's not just a boring interview about food.
Mm-hmm.
So Glenn would see, like, oh man, that's a really good point about fast food being bad for you. And then as he was talking, Glenn would dip his head out of the camera shot and take a giant bite of like a Big Mac. And he was like doing the minimum, like chewing and doing the
guy couldn't see me. He was
no.
on,
we didn't
so
know
he was
that,
very
though.
Serious
we didn't know
but
that
I had like secret sauce all over my face and things. And I'll never forget, CNN went, we cannot have an anchor do anything like this. And we're like, yeah, I'm not really a CNN anchor.
No.
So and they edited the crap out of that. I mean, that one, they were like, they were pissed.
Well, and we thought he could see you. We were not trying to play
that
a trick on the guy.
Might be a little revisionist.
No, I don't think that is. I think we thought he was going to play along with it and think it was funny. And then we realized he couldn't even see us. And then he thought we were just like screwing him over by messing up his segment.
Yeah.
Which was unfortunate.
Yeah.
But on this.
Not for the audience.
No, it was actually a funny thing for the audience. He did not like you afterwards, though. Which is something that's been repeated by many other guests since.
Yeah. But I think almost every other guest
I think
since.
So. Yeah.
So in this documentary, which I believe was made in 2017, but I don't know if you remember, Morgan Spurlock had a little bit of a Me Too situation. So I think he made this and then didn't come out.
Wow.
So they've just released it to, I think, Amazon Prime.
Huh.
Anyway, I like the movie, the first one. The second one, he decides to open up his own restaurant, and a good chunk of the money is him getting all of these BS labels on his food. He's opening a chicken restaurant, and he gets like, it's like free range, organic, like all the terms you hear, a natural, no antibiotics. He goes through all of them, and he's able to secure all of these labels, even though
it's not.
He doesn't. No, they all. He legitimately qualifies them. They just don't mean anything.
Oh wow!
A lot of them literally don't mean anything. There's no standards. You could say it no matter what.
Yeah.
The no antibiotics one.
That's
was
what my restaurant friend always says.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
And the no antibiotics one was really funny because I've heard that a million times, but. Literally none of the food that you eat has antibiotics. It's illegal. No one can use. No, there's no food, no matter what level it's at, in this genre.
No,
I guess this was chicken.
I raise cattle, mm-hmm. and we eat them, and they're yummy.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell the kids, don't name them other than dinner, lunch, or barbecue. And we don't put antibiotics in. You can put antibiotics. You shoot them, you know, inject them so they don't get sick.
Right.
So that's when they say antibiotic free. It means you've raised that animal and never given it any antibiotics to keep it from getting sick.
With the label, whatever, he went through the details of it with the expert from that, you know, that like qualifies people.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, and I can't remember the exact category, maybe it's different with cows. He was doing it with chickens. But the whole point was none of the food at any level has this thing in it.
Yeah,
so because everyone could say it's antibiotic free, but only the people who do, who want to charge you twice as much. Because
right, so here's the thing. It would be like if you guys were going to eat me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't. No, I'd be. You imagine how marbled I am? Okay. So, and I'm like veal. I've barely ever worked out or walked upstairs or anything. I am delicious.
You would be tender.
I would be delicious. Oh, be good. Okay. Yeah. There's so much maple syrup already in me. So I should probably, since we're going into a pandemic, probably say none of that is true about me. I'm very tough and you're just gristly. It's nasty. Anyway, it would be like labeling me or Pat cocaine free. Never, no cocaine in Pat. Well, okay, back in the 80s, I had cocaine. But if you would eat me, there would be no residue. No, there would be no cocaine in my meat.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And so what they're saying is it's antibiotic free, meaning he's like more like the cow is more like Pat being cocaine free. You can eat him. And that
cocaine's never been in
cows
or me.
Has this analogy helping you at all?
I don't know.
Let me give you another one they did. Free range. So he goes to the you know, whatever government thing that says you can say it's free range. And the text of it is something like the chickens need to have access to the outside area with a minimum of this amount of space. And it's a very small amount of space. So all the chickens are held inside, and there's one door at the end, and it has this little tiny fence that goes out like 4 feet outside the door. And it's the chicken, in theory, walk out there. They never do because they have no interest in going out there.
But that's considered free range.
They can see the sky, and they're outside in this little tiny...
Wow.
And at times, he tries to pick them up and put them out there, and they just run back inside.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing.
It's interesting to watch.
Wow.
I'm sure it's very slanted, but it also was... There's a lot of interesting stuff in there.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and you're listening to the Glenn Beck Program. If you like what you're hearing on this show, make sure you check out Pat Gray Unleashed. It's available wherever you download your favorite podcasts. I want to tell you about this this guy named Rick. He found himself dating a girl he found on Tinder, and they work at the same company. It's a land surveying company, and Rick was the chief financial officer. And they found each other on Tinder, and they went out and they're like, oh, crap, we work in the same company, but that's not the only problem. They have a 36-year difference in age. He is 58. She is 22. So they start, they're going to go out for lunch and say, we can't date because this is really bad. They decided not to date. And so they set up a platonic lunch to clear the air. 4 hours pass and they realize, no, they're really in love. So he quits his job.
Wow.
And goes to work for another company so they can so they can date. She says, I'm in love with Rick. I'm just waiting for the ring at this point, even if it means changing diapers. And the first time I thought, oh, they're talking about babies. No, she's talking about her changing his diapers. You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck Program. I've got something for you to listen to, and you tell me what's going on.
Okay.
This is circling the internet right now, and nobody is pushing back on this. We will now have some breaking news on this. This is a nurse, and she says the CDC would not test her. She is a union leader. She released a video Thursday afternoon where she read out that she was working. Well, let me just play it for you. Here she is. Listen.
I'm going to read a statement from one of our quarantine nurses who works at a Northern California Kaiser facility. She chose to share her experience anonymously, but she is hoping that her story can be elevated to raise public awareness about concerns for the coronavirus response. She said, "As a nurse, I'm very concerned that not enough is being done to stop the spread of the coronavirus. I know because I am currently sick in quarantine after caring for a patient who tested positive. I am awaiting permission from the federal government to allow for my testing, even after my physician and county health professional ordered the test. The national CDC would not initiate the test. They said they would not test me because if I were wearing the recommended protective equipment, then I wouldn't have the coronavirus." What kind of science-based answer is that? A ridiculous and uneducated response from the department that is in charge of the health of this country. Later, they called back, and now it's an issue with something called the identifier number. They claim they prioritize running samples by illness severity and that there are only so many to give out each day, so I have to wait in line for the results. This is not a ticket dispenser at the deli counter. It's a public health emergency. Mm-hmm. I'm a registered nurse, and I need to know if I'm positive before going back to care for patients.
Right, you do.
I'm appalled at the level of bureaucracy that's preventing nurses from getting tested. Okay. Delaying this test puts the whole community at risk.
Okay, stop. What do you think's going on there, Stu? What do you think's happening?
I mean, there's not enough information for me to really know, but...
Well, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
My guess would be that we, and this is pretty well publicized, we don't have enough tests for people to utilize.
So if you go in today to a hospital and you say, "I'm pretty sure I have the coronavirus, I don't feel well," what is the doctor going to do with you?
Probably isolate me or tell me to go home and self-quarantine.
Correct. Why?
Because they don't have tests yet.
Right. We don't have enough tests.
They've ramped up production. They believe they'll have over a million by next week. But
yeah, but that's a million for the entire country.
Right.
So it's best until we get that going to just isolate people and only use those tests on the people who are showing real symptoms so we can get them in. You don't have, at this point, we don't have the tests. This is, by the way, socialist healthcare. This is what it's like when you don't have enough, you have to ration. Mm-hmm. And so not everyone gets to the deli counter to ask for their meat when they want their meat. Okay? Now, this is a union worker. She said that she wants to know if she is sick and has it. And she calls the government basically science deniers, uneducated, and why should I have to wait in line? Well, sweetheart, if I may use that, I understand your personal concern. But if you're somebody who's in a union and had been somebody who's been supporting socialized healthcare, that's what this is all about. A line. And you know why there's a line? Because right now, only the government has been making these. Donald Trump and Mike Pence and his team are trying to get all of the capitalist companies to make more of these tests. So you could buy them at CVS, just drop it in, and you'd be able to get that test done, and you'd know right away. Until that time, the government has full control. And yes, we don't have tests to test everybody who thinks they might have it. By the way,
We reached out to the CDC yesterday. Here's what they said. CDC is not aware of this individual case. We cannot respond to its specifics. However, the CDC would most definitely recommend a healthcare worker who had contact with a confirmed case and then become ill be tested. At all times, clinicians have discretion to test patients based on their individual assessment of that patient's illness and risk of exposure. Our clinical team is working with state and local health officials to assess persons under investigation and has not said no to any such request for testing. I'm telling you right now, you be careful who you're listening to. You have to really be careful and question everyone's motives. And I urge you to question even mine. I'm telling you that I'm coming with no motive other than to tell you the truth as I understand it and give you perspective. But you shouldn't take my word or anybody else's word for true on any of this. You must do your own homework. You have to think these things through. Is this possible? Yes. But the most logical thing is there are no kits. There's not enough. You think you have it? I'm sorry. I can't give it to you on I think you have it. We have people waiting for the tests who could get medicine right now as soon as we get a test back confirming that they have COVID-19. You're not the priority right now. That's the world of socialized medicine, union leaders, union lovers. Welcome to it.
And you can't trust you either because you have big investments with big virus. You want this to get much, much worse.
I have what?
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.